From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Welcome back to our podcast. I'm Dale Carter. He is Kurt Wheeler. And wow, what a week it has been. And we'll get into all of that coming up here in just a second. First of all, we want to mention our sponsor, Bob Watson, Blue Springs State Farm Agent for nearly five decades at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. I asked Bob a question this week, and I said, you know, I've been tracking my expenses. I do that pretty close. Do you do that, Kurt?
I try.
Yeah. Trust me, as you get older, you'll track expenses a lot closer. And I've noticed that my car insurance has been going down, right? And everything I'm reading with inflation says car insurance is one of those things that's going through the roof. And I said, Bob, why is this? And he says, well, one thing that we do that most companies don't is we do a complete breakdown of individual makes of cars every year to find out their crash vulnerability. Then we're able to determine the proper rate for those individual cars. Plus, certain car manufacturers build the car better. They hold their value much better. And then he says, I'm just one hell of an agent. Which is true, right?
It is true.
We love the guy.
Yeah.
Mark the calendar for May 1st. Bob is celebrating his 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent. He's going to have a food truck at his place from 11 to 2. Go there and tell him how much you love Bob Watson being part of Dale Carter's America. And again, the location for that is 7th and Main in Blue Springs. May 1st is the date for that, 11 to 2. Go have lunch on Bob Watson and tell him he's a hell of a guy. And he'll save you money when you bundle your car and homeowner's insurance. All right.
Yeah. Congratulations, Bob, on 50 years. That's awesome.
So tell me all the ways that we can get Dale Carter's America and subscribe so that we don't have to worry about missing an episode.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you're watching on video, you can find us on YouTube and Rumble. You can also find the audio-only version on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. And I am using some new tech today, so I think everything's going well. We'll find out.
But I see me and I see you.
Yeah. So if there's any minor snafus, apologies in advance, but we're working with some new technology, new computer. So.
All right. Well, it's a crazy world that we live in. That's why we try and give you some reasonable answers here on the podcast. And certainly was a crazy week for me last week. I'm going to give you like the Reader's Digest version of this because we got a lot to cover on the podcast today. But last Tuesday, I noticed that my feet started itching in the afternoon. And I told you last week on the episode, you may remember this, Kurt, that I didn't feel right. I was a little bit off. Remember that? I was blaming it on the time change and all that.
Yeah.
I was a little bit off. Well, Tuesday, my feet started itching. Then they turned bright red and got swollen to the point where I couldn't put on shoes and socks without pain. I went to bed Tuesday night at about 6 because I get up at 2, so 6 p.m. is when I usually go to bed. And I woke up about 8:30, and I didn't feel good, you know, just chills and all that. And Jennifer thought maybe I had an allergic reaction to something, so she gave me a Benadryl and some ibuprofen, and I went back to sleep. Woke up at 2 to come do the show on Wednesday morning. My whole body was bright red, head to toe, bright red. It's like, okay, that's weird. I need to go see my doctor, but I got to get through the show first. I can tough out anything. I am a tank. Nothing can take me down so far. So I get to the station, and first hour I'm prepping. Everything's fine. I go in the studio to put stuff into our system, and then it just hit me really hard. I just couldn't focus my eyes. I had to lay down on the floor and try and recover. And then I started recording our Nashville Cats segment at 5:07. She said, you don't sound right. Call Ed. You need help. And I went down the hall to Joey at 102, the producer down there. And I said, I think I need to go to the hospital. Joey dropped me off at KU Med. They've discovered a skin infection that had almost gone septic. And on top of all of that, somehow I've broken a bone in my lower back, so it hurts to sit. So the infection after 3 nights in the hospital is taken care of. The back thing is going to have to heal over 12 weeks. But I am here. I'm alive. I'm very thankful. Love everything about my life. And the big boss was like, take as much time as you need. And I'm like, I love what I do.
Yeah.
You got to fight to keep me out of here. So I came in yesterday, kind of hit the wall about 7 in the morning, hit the wall this morning about 7:30, and I'm going to gut it out. We're going to do this podcast because we have so much that we need to talk about. But I'm very thankful to my staff here, the entire staff at Steel City Media, who have all stepped up, and the doctors, amazing at KU Med. Just really got me back on my feet at a time when it could have gone the other way. So thank you all very much. We're ready to roll. You ready to roll?
Yeah, absolutely. So just one question. Are you not, you don't have to get surgery on your back. It's going to heal. Are they giving you?
They can't do anything. In fact, you know, I had all these doctors come through with these consults, right? Mm-hmm. And the ortho guy comes in and he goes, well, my stop's going to be brief. Can't do anything.
Wow.
7 to 12 weeks.
So it was just going to heal on its own regardless.
Yeah. And it's not from a fall. I mean, you know, I've been suffering from something called PMR for about a year. I think I told you about that. Mm-hmm. But I've been taking prednisone for it. And when you take steroids, there are side effects. It's like
it makes your bones more brittle.
Right. Softer. And I've had like some, you know, some bone issues because of that. And they think this was a compression fracture. There's nothing you can do about that.
Right. Right.
So,
okay.
So here we go.
Hey, good to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. I feel blessed to be back. And I feel kind of like Austin Watterson. Remember he had to have that heart bypass surgery?
Yeah.
And he's a lot younger than I am.
Yeah.
And he came out of that feeling so blessed with life. And I know Austin has merged with another company. We had a story on that on the Facebook page. They are growing in leaps and bounds, putting roofs on houses, turning homes into solar generation units. And they can do it for you, too, at 816-540-7057. SolarByRoyal.com. They'll explain how you turn your house into an energy generator. Maybe you bypass the electric company altogether. Think about how much money you'll save on that. And RoyalContractingKC.com. They'll take care of all of your roofing needs. Austin Watterson and his family, big part of what we do here. Cass County Company, but friends of the family too. In fact, they did the roof at my house. They're ready to do the roof at your house. Royal Roofing and Solar. Medicare Simplified KC.com. That's Kirk and Lori. Kirk Doris, Lori Hocker at Medicare Simplified KC. And I'm kind of giggling there because I'm wondering what the bill is going to be like from KU Med. Mm. Here's why I say that. Because when's the last, have you ever been in the hospital overnight?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
How long ago?
Not that long ago. Yeah. The last time was probably when I broke my finger, which was maybe 10 years ago, eight years ago, something like that.
For me, it had been over 40 years since I'd been overnight in a hospital. Mm. Things have changed quite a bit. And I had this wristband on with all the stuff they give you from the hospital, but it had a barcode on it. And every time they did anything to me, gave me anything, they brought a scanner over like you get out of a cash register.
Right, right, right. Beep. Cha-ching, cha-ching, beep. Cha-ching. Did it make that noise every time they scanned it?
And, you know, I'm 4.5 years away from Medicare, so I'm giggling there. But Kirk and Lori, if you are approaching 65, get these people on your calendar. Okay. There are 10,000 people a day turning 65 in this country, and most of them have no idea how to cope with Medicare. With years, they've helped thousands of people just like you understand Medicare and how to apply to their particular circumstances. Medicare is not a one-size-fits-all. You need these folks to help guide you through the maze that is Medicare. Get the answers. Know your options. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence. You can reach them on the phone at 816-701-6661. They're on the web, of course, at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. And I was kind of hoping to hold off anything major in my life until 65, but apparently not. So we'll be testing our wonderful insurance here at Steel City Media.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we're 231 days away from Election Day.
It's getting pretty close.
How you feeling?
It really puts things into perspective with the podcast, too, because, you know, we've been doing this for, what, a couple years now, I guess, a little over. And, you know, it was like in the thousands, and then we're at 231, so it's coming up quick.
Are you feeling good?
About the election?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to tell. It really is, because I see, like, on Twitter, things are looking very good, but I am sort of in a bubble.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people seem to be coming around to Trump that weren't before. And the enthusiasm for him is very strong. I don't see a lot of enthusiasm for Joe Biden, obviously, but
even among Democrats.
Right.
Yeah.
But the people that are going to vote for him are not going to vote for him because they like him. They're going to vote for him because they don't like Trump.
Exactly. So. Well, some news since I put the notes out, President Trump's lawyers say he's on because they're trying to tie him up in court. That's really their only strategy. It's the only way that they win is to tie him up in court. And in the New York deal, he says he's unable to secure the $464 million fraud judgment against him. He has to put that up as a bond in order to appeal, which I think is about the most un-American law you could ever imagine, right? You think you've been wrongfully accused and or whatever, and to appeal it to the next level, you have to put up $464 million?
Yeah.
Really? And Letitia James, the attorney general there, licking her chops, because if he can't do it, I guess she can start selling off his stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. I mean, it's political persecution to a T.
Then there's this, the Supreme Court hearing arguments yesterday in a case over whether the Biden administration's push to remove what they claimed was misinformation on social media platforms violated the First Amendment. Of course it did. They sat on those people and said, hey, this COVID stuff, unless they say they're for the shot, you know, and everything that we say, unless they agree with it, you got to take that down. There can't be any question about 2020 in the election. Yeah, we did all this stuff because of COVID, but if anybody asks a question about it, take it off. How does that not violate the First Amendment?
Yeah, it definitely does. And we've seen, you know, it's ironic, obviously, because the Democrats are the ones screaming about our democracy and our sacred elections and all this stuff. But we've seen a lot of evidence across platforms, you know, with Twitter before it was taken over by Elon Musk, with Facebook and Instagram during the election cycle, and then also even before that, you know, during the whole Russian collusion thing, you know, where the DOJ, the FBI were involved directly with these companies, telling them, you know, what speech needs to be throttled, what stories need to be allowed, and what stories need to not be allowed.
And you remember when they were going to do the disinformation board.
Yeah.
And Mayorkas was going to head that up. He has zero credibility.
Yeah.
He's the guy who told us, the border's fine. Speaking of the border, a Texas law that would allow local police to arrest anybody they believe is in the country illegally remains blocked. Supreme Court says that stay will stay pending further order from the court. Opponents claim that only the federal government has the right to enforce immigration law. Well, what happens when they don't? And you're a border state, and you're being overrun in the millions from the southern border. What happens when they don't? Do you have a right as a state? I think that's a great thing for the Supreme Court to weigh in on.
Yeah, I agree. I would like to hear their take on that. And it kind of ties into the sanctuary city thing as well. And they would probably, if they did make a decision on the Texas border law, it would probably tie into the sanctuary city thing as well. Because as we know, what's been happening with that is that, you know, we have our federal immigration laws, but we have certain cities and certain states that have just decided that they're not going to enforce federal immigration law. They're going to let illegals into their city, into their state, and you know, release them or whatever, just not enforce the federal law. So you would think that if Texas can't enforce its border and circumnavigate the federal government, then these cities and these states also should not be allowed to circumvent the federal government in not enforcing the law.
All right. So here we are, 231 days out, and you have a clear choice. What do you want? That is the question that we're going to ask here today. This is a very rare time in American history. It's only happened one other time. In any other election, if you have an incumbent president, he's got a record, right? Everything that's happened during his administration. You've got an opponent on the other side saying, okay, if you elect me, here's what I'll do. For the second time in American history, we have a former president challenging the current president, just like Grover Cleveland did back in the day, okay? And so what we have, Kurt, is we have a set of things that have happened during Joe Biden, and we have a set of things that happened just previously under Donald Trump. And Donald Trump says, vote for me, and we'll turn back the clock, and we'll fix all these things. Mm-hmm. So you have a choice. I mean, and if Joe Biden wins, this country gets exactly what it deserved. because you have seen what's happened for 3.5 years. You saw what happened for the 4 years prior to that. You saw the inflation numbers in the 4 years prior to that. Even with a pandemic, for God's sake, you saw that happen. You saw the border tightened up. You saw us be energy independent. All those things that happened under Donald Trump that evaporated nearly on day one under Joe Biden. So you've got a chance. And I thought Donald Trump made it pretty clear in a speech in Ohio.
Yeah, definitely. We'll watch a couple clips from this. The first one is here. This short clip, he's just talking about the border.
Livable. Not one more American life should be lost to migrant crime. When I'm president of the United States, we will demand justice for Laken. On day one, my administration will terminate every open border policy of the Biden administration. We will begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history.
You know, there was a time when Democrats and Republicans agreed on this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's an interesting dynamic, which we're not going to get into today, but we could down the road, where Biden actually has a bigger problem with Obama than he has with Trump. Have you read anything on this that, you know, the Biden or the Obama people think that Biden's a stooge and the Biden people don't like the Obama people and they think they've done a much better job? And, you know, it was Obama that was turning people back at the border. Obama had the cages at the border. Somehow that became a Republican problem.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. And it is interesting. You know, you mentioned Trump running, obviously, it's almost as an incumbent. You know, I mean, there's 4 years separating his terms, but he's running basically as an incumbent. And it changes a lot of things in terms of the campaign. And one of the big ones, in my opinion, you see the same people in the media, the same left-wing, you know, spokespeople that are coming out saying the same stuff that they did in 2016. He's a Nazi. He's a racist. Yeah. He's going to, you know, put women, you know, in the kitchen or whatever they say. I don't know. But like now it really doesn't carry water anymore because he's been president. So,
and we know what he did.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are hearing that and they're like, well, you know, you said that the first time and it didn't happen and he was president and he actually, you know, didn't do, in their view, you know, didn't do that bad of a job. Like he was not nearly as bad as you said he was. And now you're saying the same thing again. How am I supposed to believe you? I do see a lot of that happening.
You know, he took up the whole abortion thing. And I will say this about Donald Trump. He is not a harsh conservative. He's not a right-wing conservative. He's a moderate in many of his views. Mm-hmm. And when he talks about abortion, he flat takes that off the table. So they can lie, they can take it out of context, but we have the video of exactly what he said, and what he is saying is, it's not going to make you happy, Kurt, and it's not going to make the people in Minnesota who believe in abortion all the way up to birth happy, but it's going to make the vast majority of Americans take this off the table. You can still, in your private life, I do in my own faith life, have my beliefs about abortion, but that can't bleed over into the discourse for the country. There are so many examples of where you could go overboard on something like that, and I think Donald Trump has nailed this thing and will take it off the table. Play the clip before they take it out of context.
Well, this may not be the same clip that you're talking about because he does say some stuff here.
New York Times piece by Maggie Haberman and others says that you have discussed with your advisors having a ban, the possibility of a ban on abortion after 16 weeks, plus the three exceptions that I know are important to you, yeah. Rape, incest, life of the mother.
Right, very
now,
important.
I don't know if it's possible to make both sides happy in this debate because people have such strong moral feelings, yeah. But you were quoted as saying to one of your aides, well, I like 16 weeks because it's a nice round number, 4 months. Do you think that could be politically acceptable?
So we're going to find out, and pretty soon I'm going to be making a decision. And I would like to see if we could do that at all. I would like to see if we could make both sides happy. Look, a lot of things were done with Roe by killing it. Number one, we brought
Which
it back
was,
to the States.
Of course, your justices to the Supreme Court that made that possible.
They did.
Yeah.
And you know, they did something that from a lot of standpoints is extremely good. Number one, the Democrats are the radicals on this issue because it's okay to have an abortion in 7, 8, 9 months and even after birth, according to that.
Well, I know that's
And
in
I will
dispute.
Say this.
I know that's in
If
dispute.
You speak about the subject right, we actually have, it's like fertilization. On fertilization, you saw I took the lead on that, and it's actually now our subject. It's a positive. We want to help women. And that could have been a very negative thing. We want to help women. With Roe, you take a look at what was going on. Abortions in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month. One thing that you say is nobody wants that. Killing of a baby after the baby's born. That was the governor, the ex-governor, last governor, prior to this one, by the way, he's a good guy. Yeah. The last governor of Virginia, he said, you put the baby aside and you discuss with the mother whether or not essentially you want to kill the baby. They are the radicals. There'll be a certain, there's a certain spot. If you look at France, if you look at different places in Europe, if you look at a lot of the civilized world, they have a period of time. But you can't go out 7 months and 8 months and 9 months. And if the Republicans spoke about it correctly, it never hurt me from the standpoint of elections. It hurt a lot of Republicans. I think you have to have the three exceptions, because it's just, now there are a few places where you don't.
Okay. So, I mean, I think he said exactly what I thought he was going to say there. And I think it takes the issue off the table. It takes the issue. The Democrats have turned this thing into a mallet that they've beaten Republicans over the head with. They're winning as a result of that.
What do you mean it takes the issue off the table?
If we're telling the truth here, okay, and there's a reasonable number with three exceptions, what's the argument on the other side? Because we've said this before. What you should say to the Democrats is, okay, where is the limit? And I think reasonable people, and that would be 80% of the country, would find a reasonable number, as Trump said, somewhere where the rest of the civilized world is. Mm-hmm. And that takes the issue off the table. They can't keep coming at us saying, they want to ban it, they want to take away your rights, blah, 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 blah.
Well, they will, though. I mean, that's the thing. If there's a national 16-week abortion ban, that is a ban. They will come after that. I mean, that's not taking the issue off the table at all.
Well, you got to flip the language.
It's putting a line in the sand, yeah. and saying, this is going to be, we have no federal ban on abortion now. So if there was a 16-week ban, you know, it's not nearly far enough, in my opinion, but it's a step in the pro-life direction, well, in terms of policy.
Exactly. And we've and talked about
gonna,
this
before. They're going to lose their minds over that.
We've talked about this before. Let's take it out of the realm of just theory. Let's make it a real issue. You know, you've gotten pregnant, you know, unprotected sex or whatever, and it's like, oh shit, I'm pregnant. Do you need to wait 16 weeks to do that?
Right.
Do you need to wait 7 months, 8 months, 9 months? Again, with the three exceptions. Don't let them take that away from you. So we're going to have to find a line, and I think more reasonable people are coming together on this, and you're always going to have the far left and the far right on this who are never going to agree on anything. But unless we get to a point where we can move forward as a country, we're going to have this as a battering ram against Republicans. And, you know, you may not believe this, but I've seen enough in the midterm election and the last election that we just had. Republicans are losing ground. We're losing state houses. We're losing. I mean, what's the point? If you don't have the power to do what you want to do, what's the point of standing on the sideline and saying, I'm for no abortions? Okay, great. What's that getting you? Because Democrats are getting elected and they want it all the way up to 9 months, if not birth.
Right. But you see what I'm saying, though. I mean, his stance there, in my opinion, is not taking it off the table. He's putting it on the table, because a 16, again, my opinion aside, and, you know, the opinion of the pro-life movement aside, just politically speaking, practically speaking, a 16-week federal ban is a very pro-life policy, you know, that, and you brought it up yourself. I mean, the pro-abortion, pro-choice people, they want it on demand. They want it funded by the government. You know, they want to be able to have their employer pay for them to cross state lines to get one.
Let the Democrats.
So anything that's not that is going to inflame that base. They're going to be putting out ads saying that, you know, Trump is proposing an abortion ban. They're going to campaign on it. So to me, it's like, we should not be positioning ourselves based on what the reaction from the left is going to be. We should be doing what is right. And I think you're right that a lot of people are, you know, the normal middle of America average person is somewhere in the middle on this issue where a 16-week ban would be pretty reasonable to a lot of people. But
you got to flip the language. You're saying 16-week ban. You have a 16-week opportunity to take care of a problem that you created.
If you want to put it that way,
okay. flip the language on that. And if they want to go on TV and make ads and say, hey, you know, we want the government to pay for all abortions and you should be able to have one all the way up to birth, let them do that. And I think they're wrong with 80% of the country.
Yeah.
And it'll hurt them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I don't think that the pro-life position is as politically harmful to Republicans as people say that it is. I think we're talking about it the wrong way. You know, we're not being strong enough on the issue. We're not making the case to people in the correct way, and we're not making it often enough. That's the problem, in my opinion. It's not that, you know, we're not compromising enough, or that, you know, the people aren't on board, that the people aren't pro-life. I mean, half of women are pro-life. That's just women, not to mention men and everybody else.
Right.
So I think that it's a winning issue.
Well, I think Trump's coming across where most of, as he says, the civilized world is. And
right.
I like the way he's leaning on that, because I want to win, because I want to get energy independent again. I want to get this freaking border fixed. There are so many other issues out there that if we don't win, it's not going to matter. Speaker Johnson is ready to help. He wants to be the speaker again in the next term of Congress. He thinks that we've got some winning issues and we need to fill more seats. That's why we need Steve Garvey running in California to help down ballot. Maybe he's not going to win against Adam Schiff. He should. Maybe he's not going to win that election, but maybe he brings more Republicans with him to the House, and that helps Speaker Johnson to help reinforce what Donald Trump wants to do for America. So, I mean, these are all important things. Now, we're talking about policy. Kurt and I just spent a little time here talking about policy. Democrats don't want to talk about policy. They want to talk about the bloodbath. The bloodbath!
Oh, yeah.
Were we going to have a bloodbath in here? If we are, you're cleaning it up. Because, you know.
You can't bend down to clean. You have an excuse.
Exactly. I've got a doctor's excuse. Trump made a speech. He used the word bloodbath. They've taken it out of context, and they are just blowing it up huge.
Yeah, I got to find the original clip, because it's like, it's hard to find, because it's all just...
Because they've already blown it up and taken it down.
Yeah.
You know, Gutfeld made a great point last night on The Five on Fox News Channel, that people are enjoying, it's almost become a sport of going after when they do these things, when they take things out of context and make a big issue out of it. They're popping the balloon on all this bullshit.
Let's see how, because the context is obviously important here. So let's see how MSNBC and the morning schmo, as he is called by other people, let's see what they had to say about it. Oh, come on. I'm just curious, you know, what clip they're going to play, because they play like 2 seconds of a clip. It's just Trump going, bloodbath! And then they're like, you said bloodbath!
Yeah. Well, while you're trying to get that, you know, a little Fani update from Georgia, you saw that the judge said you can proceed with the case, but your boyfriend can't be on the deal.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's not nearly enough, in my opinion. I mean, she broke the law and admitted to it under oath.
Yeah.
She shouldn't.
She's damaged goods, though.
Not only not be allowed on the case, she should probably be in prison, but that's just my opinion.
All right, you got it now?
Yeah.
He was discussing Chinese-made cars being imported to the U.S. from Mexico.
We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
Okay, so he's tying it to cars coming over the border from China, which they're doing, by the way. They're putting cheap cars over the border through Mexico, and Trump's going to shut that down when he shuts the border down. He used the word bloodbath, and they've equated it to, if I don't win, there's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna sick my people on the Capitol again, just like January 6th. Remember that? Remember when I told all those people to go riot? No, I'm just kidding.
And he's talking about, you know, pardoning some of those folks, and, you know, they're going crazy about that too. I think that's rational policy.
Yeah.
These are people who, many of them, are still waiting on trials.
Yeah.
Since January 6th of 2021. This is, you know, 3.5 years later, and they're still waiting on trials? That's not American.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, talk about political persecution. I mean, Trump is dealing with his own. Obviously, he's the figurehead. He's going to get a lot of it. But his, at this point, is, you know, mostly financial. They're coming after his finances. They're trying to bankrupt him. They're trying to get him tied up in court so he can't run. But there are people who, you know, just entered the Capitol. You walked around for a little bit,
yeah.
And they've been in
jail
awaiting trial
right.
for 3 years now. And some of them that have gotten sentenced to 20 years, 30 years plus, which is a total joke. So
well,
I support that 100%.
Democrats are preaching fear and they're tying Trump up in court. They do not want to run on this record they've had for the last 3.5 years because reasonable voters, and I talk about that a lot, the reasonable voters out there, we have eyes, right? Yeah. We go to the grocery store. The economy's great. You're just stupid if you don't get it. And I look at the grocery bill every week, and it's like, really? And one of the cash registers at the Price Chopper I go to on North 7 Highway, she and I have this conversation almost every time I go to the grocery store because I'm like, I can't believe I'm spending this much money and only getting this. And then I just saw a story that egg prices are going to go up again. Everything is going up and up and up, and that's Bidenomics, and it's great. And if you don't get it, you know, you're just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, eggs, milk, cheese.
Everything.
Meat.
It's all going up.
Yep.
Car insurance is one of the biggest things to go up unless you go see my friend Bob Watson. But we'll tell you about that again later in the deal here. Stupid is not getting your colonoscopy. There are so many things out of our control in health. And I'll never forget, you know, my last physical. I think I told you this. My doctor, Dr. Sutton, said, you are the healthiest 60-year-old I treat. Mm. That was in January. All right. And I was dealing with PMR then. And he said, look, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you've lost weight, you're doing all the things I want you to do. And the PMR was something completely out of your control. Colon cancer is completely out of your control. But what is in your control is to go get screened for it. And starting at age 45, you should have that first colon cancer screening. So if you're 45 or older and you have not done this yet, and you're like 50, 52, 55, and it's like, I'll take care of it later. Don't really want to do it. Blah, 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 blah. Get on the phone and call my friend, Dr. Mark Taramina. He's at Midwest GI Health and MidwestGIHealth.com. They're in Lee's Summit. They can get it all done the same day. In fact, you need an upper GI, they can do that at the same time too. They'll take care of you. You know, when you've done the prep, you come in, you get your colonoscopy, and one of two things happens. Clean bill of health, we'll see you in 10 years. The other side is, we got some polyps, we're going to go test those. And if it comes back like precancerous or early cancer, they can fix it. When they can't fix it is when it goes full-blown colon cancer. So don't be stupid. Get your screening. And if there's somebody in your life, somebody that you love, go lean on them and tell them, get this done for your family, if nobody else. That's Dr. Mark Taramina, Midwest GI Health and Wellness, Lee's Summit, 816-836-2200. Let them take care of you. And then after you've done that in Lee's Summit, you're going to be hungry. Trust me on this. You're going to want a pizza, a big pizza with toppings piled way high. Jim Dingman, of course, he runs Funhouse Pizza in Lee's Summit. They're right there on 50 Highway. They also have a location in Blue Springs on 7 Highway. Just a wonderful place to take the family. It's a fun atmosphere. The food is amazing. The drinks are cold. We got Little League Baseball coming up. Maybe you're going to have your parents meeting. It's a great place to do that. If you got a banquet coming up, maybe for your basketball team, it's a great place to do that. Family reunion, birthday party. Let Funhouse Pizza be the fun spot for you. 50 Highway, Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs, where you can still feed a family of four for just $40.
Tremendous people.
All right. And thanks for being part of the podcast to both Mark Taramina and Jim Dingman. Okay, so we talked about Trump, and what if we went back to the future? Right? Went back to the last president, which you've got a chance to do that for only the second time in American history. The other time in American history, we did it. We went back to the other guy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So you got a chance to do that again. What if we stay the course? Okay, let's start with a budget. Biden turns in a budget for FY25. For $7.3 trillion. Guess what? That is a new record in spending, with a record $5.3 trillion coming in revenue. Now, I'm not a math major. I've said that many times. But I can look at $7.3 in spending and $5.3 in revenue and see that there's a $2 trillion gap. Yeah. Right?
It's a lot of money. A lot of money.
It is indeed a lot of money.
$700 billion and $1.3 trillion.
He claims this will reduce the federal deficit. Now, the story says deficit. I think they mean debt by $3 trillion over the next decade by, wait for it, raising taxes on the wealthy and corporations with a 25% tax on billionaires. That's going to get it done. He calls for the end of trickle-down economics. We've talked about this before. We call what they do trickle-down economics. Take more money out of the private sector, filter it through the swamp in D.C., send it out here, send it out there, and maybe it'll come back to you. Yeah, maybe it won't.
And he mentioned, aside from the politics or the policy of taxes, you know, which we definitely disagree with him on, but in his State of the Union speech, when he was talking about this, he said that raising taxes on the rich, quote unquote, would increase revenue by $500 billion over the next 10 years. $500 billion over the next 10 years, which is nothing. I mean, it's like it's a drop in the bucket. He's spending $7.5 trillion in 1 year. So what's that times 10? 75?
Now 70, you're getting into math.
$75 trillion, and we're going to raise $500 billion by bankrupting our you know, business class.
Yeah, the people who create the jobs, right? Yeah. You know, so this gets down to a fundamental difference between liberal Democrats and conservative Republicans. Conservative Republicans believe that more money in the private sector is the way to go, and liberal Democrats believe that you suck as much money as you can out of the private sector to create things that the private sector would not on its own, which is complete bullshit in my mind, because the private sector fuels this country, right? Am I wrong on that?
No, I mean, the government certainly doesn't.
Yeah. So here's just a real life example of the budget. From the only business that I know, the only business I've ever been in is the radio business. I took this off of Inside Radio, okay? The FCC budget will be increased by 14.8%. All of the increases in all these agencies, you know, with inflation where it is and people getting like 3% raises, the government agencies are all double-digit increases. And if you cut the increase, they say it's a cut. So the FCC would go up by 14.8% or $58 million to $390 billion for the Federal Communications Commission. Now, where's the FCC? Where are they going to get this money? They're going to get it by increasing fees on radio stations. That's our business, Kurt. They're going to come after our business, and they're going to say, we're going to increase your fees to the FCC. Now, if you run a radio station, what are the ways that you can deal with that?
I don't know. I mean, but it's interesting because this is not answering the question that you asked, but they're coming after us in a sense, you know, not me and you directly, but the business on both sides, because they're going to increase fees on the front end. And then on the back end, what are they going to do with it? What are they going to do with that increased budget that they have? They're coming after, you know, the DEI stuff. So if you don't have enough black people, they're going to punish you for that on the back end.
Right.
So well, they're going to take the money out of your pocket, and then they're going to smash you over the head with it.
That's true. I'm just looking at it at the front door at this point.
Right.
So the front door is your fees go up. So you've got some choices as a radio station. You can raise the rates on your commercials. How do you think that goes over with your clients?
Not good.
Not good. You can cut employees. How many more do we have? You know, I remember a time when CBS owned this place. We had about 100 people here.
Yeah.
We have 35 full-time people here today.
And that's already happening. You know, thankfully, we haven't made too many cuts, you know, if any at all in the past few years. But some of the other companies are making a lot of cuts. They're downsizing. They're you know, conglomerating or whatever you want to say, their markets. So you have one promotions person that is in charge of five markets, or one production guy that's in charge of four markets instead of you know, having individual markets.
In fact, I would say at iHeart this week, it's been a bloodbath.
Yeah.
It's been a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Yeah, to use their word. Okay, so just continuing the thing on the radio station, let's say that we go to our clients and we say, hey, you know, the FCC is coming at us. They're going to increase our fees, so we've got to increase our advertising rates. They got to pay more for advertising. What are they going to do? This is a thing. Shit rolls downhill, right? And so client A says, well, I got to pay more for my radio advertising. Maybe I don't need that radio advertising. That hurts us. Maybe I'll go ahead and pay the extra. That means I've got to raise prices, cut expenses, cut employees, maybe go out of business. I mean, that's why this is such a bass-ackwards way of doing it. And then you got Bernie out there. Bernie wants to change the whole diagram of the work week. You know, we've been on a 40-hour week for a while now. You know, going back to the old 9-to-5 thing, Monday through Friday, we're based on a 40-hour week and all that. Well, Bernie's got a great idea. We're going to cut to 32 hours a week, but you're still going to get paid for 40.
Yep.
You'd like that.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, what business has Bernie ever run? I think he and Joe Biden are two of the people in D.C. who have never even run a hot dog stand. I think Bernie was mayor of a town in Vermont at one point, so at least he's had a little executive experience. Biden had none before he took over as president. So what world do they live in?
Yeah. Bernie will be the general manager of the widget factory under his socialist utopia, if he's still alive when it comes about.
You got a clip on Bernie?
Yeah, he was just, I think this is from Fox Business, and he was kind of asked about it in the hallway. Here's what he said.
Can I talk to you about the 32-hour work week? Yeah. It seems like Fox Business. Yeah. It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers.
Really? Is that what you think?
pay their workers.
Excuse me.
I didn't get to ask a question.
Okay.
What an asshole.
He's a complete asshole.
And you notice he said, where are you from? She said, Fox Business. So he's like, okay, so I'm just going to be a dick to you now.
Yeah.
Let's keep watching.
It's a bloodbath.
You want to hold it? Okay. We held a hearing on a 32-hour work week because what we have seen is that over the last 50 years, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, almost all of the new wealth has gone to the top 1%, while 60% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. Many of our people are exhausted. We work the longest hours of any people in the industrialized world. I think it's time for a shortened work week.
Can I ask you a question about that? It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more,
pay their workers more, lower prices,
and now pay people not to work.
You know what I would like to see?
How are businesses going to survive that? That's the question.
He's kind of like getting up in her face a little bit with like his hand. I think she should file a sexual harassment lawsuit.
She should Me Too this guy. It's a Democrat versus Fox News. Fox News is going to lose that every time.
Okay.
You
want to keep going?
We don't have to.
Yeah. So this is under the course. This is under stay the course. This is what you will get with a second term of Joe Biden. And of course, when you vote for Joe Biden, know that you are voting for Kamala Harris, because there's no way this wheezing old man makes it to the finish line of an 8-year presidency. It is not going to happen, not medically going to happen. So think of Kamala Harris as your next president. So if you're voting for her this November, she made history twice this week. Okay. We talked a little bit about abortion. She becomes the first sitting vice president to visit an abortion clinic. And it not an abortion clinic anywhere in the country in particular. We're talking about Minnesota, where everything goes.
Can you give us a sense of what you saw back there and also what you learned by coming here today?
Well, what I saw were, I don't know, maybe 24 healthcare workers who really care about their patients, and who understand that in the healthcare delivery system, regardless of your gender or your healthcare need, I think we should all expect, and certainly we all desire, that you will be treated with dignity. And you'll be treated in an environment.
What the is she talking about?
Well, I mean the fact that they can call abortion healthcare is just like
ridiculous.
It shows how backwards we are as a society and how completely lost we are. It is by definition the exact opposite of healthcare.
Well, from a baby's perspective, you're absolutely right. So here she is in a state where they could commit murder on a baby all the way up to 9 months. Okay. There are no exceptions in the state of Minnesota. It's a wild, wild west. Anything goes. And that's where she goes to make this speech for the first time ever for a sitting vice president. And then on the other side, you've got Donald Trump, who says, you know what, maybe we need to join the civilized world. You've got 16 weeks to get this done. And there are exceptions all the way out for three things, you know, incest, rape, health of the mother. Okay. That's Donald Trump. Donald Trump sounds reasonable. These people don't sound reasonable.
Right.
So
that is certainly true.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from on that. Okay, she also had another first. She hosted the first ever weed event at the White House. Now, whatever you think of weed, all right, it's still against federal law, which is why even in Missouri, where it's legal for recreational pot, they can't do banking at the federal level because it's still a Schedule I narcotic. And yet, in the House of the People, the executive branch where they're supposed to enforce the law, our sitting vice president has a little pot party.
Yeah, you said, I was looking up clips for this. You said a weed event in the notes, and I'm imagining her there like, you're like, she's listening to Tupac. Remember that remember that clip where she was talking about how she used to listen to Tupac in college, but it turns out that like when she was in college was like 4 years before Tupac ever hit the scene.
They lie as easily as they breathe.
Yeah, oh
they
yeah,
truly do.
So that's what I was imagining when she said weed event. But this is
conference room.
This is much more boring, unfortunately.
Yeah. I've said many times, I think we all at this table believe nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed. And what we need to do is recognize that far too many people have been sent to jail for simple marijuana possession.
By you in California when you were the attorney general?
No kidding. And I will agree with her on this, okay? If we need space in our existing prisons to put murderers, you know, people who violate gun laws, if we need the space, let the potheads out. And if you could show me some examples, first of all, I don't believe them. Again, they lie as easily as they breathe. Show me an example of somebody who had simple possession and is sitting in prison on a long term right now.
Right. Yeah, I don't believe them. Neither do I. And especially now, you know, maybe there's cases from 20 years ago or something like that where it was a simple possession charge, but people are still making that case that that's happening today. And it's just simply not. People who are in prison for weed possession charges now, what happens like 90% of the time is they're arrested for something else and they plead down to a possession charge.
Right.
Nobody is getting arrested and thrown in jail for having a dime bag of weed. They get pulled over by the cops and they get thrown in jail. They're resisting arrest. They've gotten arrested for assault or robbery or something else that is a higher charge. They're pleading down to possession, and that's what it is. So this idea that there's just all these people in prison for weed for no reason, it's just BS. It's not true.
Nope.
You know,
it's a lie.
And again, point to some examples. If there are specific examples where it's like, oh, this guy, you know, got arrested. He was an innocent school teacher, and you know, he was at home by himself smoking a joint on a Tuesday night, and the cops busted down his door and put him in handcuffs.
The bloodbath.
Yeah, show me the example, and we could talk about it. Okay, you know, I mean, if that actually happened, and there's no extenuating circumstances that you're not telling us about, then yeah, maybe we can talk about that. But that's just not the case, and they never point to any examples because there aren't any.
All right. Well, if you stay the course, God knows what's going to happen. In the Middle East and in foreign policy too, how many more of our enemies will be emboldened to act? I still believe everything that's happening in Israel right now is Joe Biden's fault because he emboldened Iran. Iran gave money to Hamas, and Hamas attacked on October 7th. Democrats are eating their own on this. Left-wing Democrats don't like it when Chuck Schumer stands up and makes a speech like this on the floor of the House of the Senate.
We cannot let anger or trauma determine our actions
trauma.
Or cloud our judgment. This two-state solution may feel daunting, especially now, but I believe it is the only realistic and sustainable solution on the basis of security, on the basis of prosperity, on the basis of fundamental human rights and dignity. But in order to achieve a two-state solution, the reality is that things must change. Right now, there are four major obstacles standing in the way of two states. And until they are removed from the equation, there will never be peace in Israel and Gaza and the West Bank. The four major obstacles are Hamas and the Palestinians who support and tolerate their evil ways.
Agree with him on
that. Radical right-wing Israelis in government and society.
Disagree with him on that.
Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Okay, stop the tape right there because that's all we need to hear about that. You know, and then Biden basically came out and said he made a really great speech. Now, as Democrats are eating their own, And this is something that goes back to Sun Tzu. If you've ever read Sun Tzu and On War, I mean, all the way back to when that was written, some of those principles still exist. When your enemy is eating itself, get out of their way.
Right. Let them.
Let them. Okay. So what Republicans ought to be out there doing, and I think they are to a great degree, is we stand with Israel. They were attacked on October 7th. You know, what would we have done after 9/11 if somebody, you know, in London or Paris or wherever else in the world said, you know, America really needs to sit down and talk to these people and see what's on their mind? What would we have done? We'd have told them to go fuck themselves. Okay? And that's what Israel ought to do. Tell the Democrats to go fuck yourselves. You have no right getting into internal Israeli politics. They were attacked on October 7th. Benjamin Netanyahu made a decision that he's going to root this out once and for all. And, you know, they elected him in Israel. If they don't want that, they are going to have to make that change. For us to be meddling in their politics, first of all, it's destroying the Democrat Party, which does not break my heart, because I think you are taking us down a really wrong road in this country. And what Republicans should just say simply is, we support our ally Israel.
I mean, the fact is that we are meddling in their politics, and they are meddling in our politics. We're intertwined in a very legitimate, serious way, whether that's a good thing or not. But, you know, we supply them with money. We supply them with arms that they're using to wage this war against Hamas and the Gaza Strip. And then we're also, as we talked about last week, we're also supplying the aid now for Gaza, so we're giving money to both sides. And then Israel, you know, in our elections, they're one of the largest lobbying groups, you know, that we have, AIPAC, and other groups, the ADL and things like that. So, I mean, it's not quite the same because, you know, London has no control over our military foreign policy in Iraq or Afghanistan. If anything, you know, again, we're leading the charge over there, but we're very involved with Israel financially.
I get it's a janky example, but it pisses me off. And then I just think about it. I think, well, Biden thinks he did a really good job. Okay, you got the left wing of your own party that says, eh. And maybe that left wing of the party ends up with RFK Jr. What do you think about that?
RFK?
Yeah. Did he pick a VP yet?
No, he posted something on Twitter yesterday that he's going to be announcing his VP pick, I think, on the 27th or the 29th, something like that, so in the next week or two.
I mean, I heard Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me? Are you trying to be a serious candidate for president?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's not a very serious pick, but...
Jesse Ventura?
Jesse Ventura is definitely not a serious pick.
At least, he ran a state. He was a governor.
Yeah, I would take Aaron Rodgers over Jesse Ventura. I mean, to be honest, he's funny. He's really funny, but he's gotten off his rocker a little bit. You know, thermite paint. When you talk about this. I can't do a Jesse. I can't do That's a Jesse Ventura. Yeah.
Don't make me laugh. I got to pee.
Okay. Yeah, me too, actually. But, but yeah, I mean... We'll see. They've been talking about Aaron Rodgers, Jesse Ventura, Tulsi's on the list like she was with Trump. There's a few others I forget off the top of my head. But
all right. Well, we'll see how that all plays out. And again, I think those votes are primarily going to come out of Joe Biden because to your point earlier in the podcast, there's no excitement for Joe Biden, even among Democrats. It's like, you know, and the only thing they've got is you got to hate Trump. If he says anything, and he's going to because he's Trump, right? He's going to say something that's inflammatory. And if we just pull this out of context, we can make the guy sound like Hitler.
Right.
And that's what they're going to do. It's not, hey, this is what we're doing for America. You know, jump on board. We've had a great 3.5 years, and we're going to do 4 more years. And we're all excited about the future of our country. It's like, Trump, bloodbath. Oh, it makes me want to get a new house. And if I want to get a new house, I'm going to call my pal, Michael Schroer. Oh. He is the official real estate expert of the Dale Carter's America podcast. And he's done a lot of real estate in 35 years. Great guy. You can find him on the web at michaelschroer.com. That's MichaelSchroer.com. All right. You can find him on the phone at 816-783-5800, 816-783-5800. If you're looking for a new property, a new house, starter house, the right size house for your growing family, maybe your family is all moved away and you need to go the other way. You need to downsize. Maybe you like to take a look at a piece of land to build your dream home. Michael's been helping folks in Kansas City for 35 years. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. And if you're ready to buy your new house, he's the guy who can help you, and of course, he'll help you sell the other house, too, the one that you've got now. MichaelSchroer.com, real estate professional at RE/MAX Heritage, and the official real estate guy here at Dale Carter's America. And I'm thinking maybe it's time to move to Cass County, because I feel like the wind coming out of the sails on what we wanted to do with Truman County. I'd love to say that we're marching ahead on that. We're not doing anything on it. It's just you find out what kind of an uphill battle you face with the entrenched folks.
Yeah.
And maybe April 3rd will be that way as well, because the folks from the teams are pulling out all the stops. We're running commercials on KFKF with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, telling you to vote yes on April 3rd. How many fans do you think Mitch Holtis has in Chiefs Kingdom?
A lot.
Millions. You know, millions throughout the kingdom. We don't have millions in the county. It's all going to come down to Jackson County. And, you know, they're trying to leverage the Royals wanting to move downtown for no apparent reason, so that this Sherman guy can get his hotel and conference center all built on our backs. And they're saying, if you don't do it, maybe the Chiefs are going to move. I think it wins based on that. I hope not. I'm going to vote no.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have come out also and alluded to it. Was it the GM or I forget? You probably know
Mark
more
Donovan,
about it.
President.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've come out too. They're coming out hard on it.
Is that what you were just talking about? I was looking something up. Sorry.
Yeah, no, okay. I didn't get to that. I got to Mitch Holtis, you know, doing the commercials on KFKF.
Right.
Frank White, who of course was the second baseman for the Kansas City Royals, he's throwing all kinds of mud on this thing as well. He's now asking the teams to fund the election, nearly $1 million. And why not? Because the funding, yes, on the tax currently sits at $2 million. Manny Abarca, who's on the legislature, says White waited to, quote unquote, seek his revenge. Did you know that's a racist dog whistle?
Well, that's not what they're calling a racist dog whistle, by the way.
Oh, what are they calling a racist dog
whistle? He said, let me just pull this up here. The county executive, Abarca responded by saying it was White's way of getting even with the Royals for the organization's treatment of him after he retired from playing baseball. White worked for the Royals, blah, blah, blah. And this is a quote from Mr. Abarca's statement, and he has waited since his last team contract expiration to seek his revenge. Let's call a spade a spade.
Oh, I would have known that's a racist dog whistle. Can't call a spade a spade. unless you're black guy talking about a black guy. I mean, I guess that's okay then, right?
Right, right. It's like the N-word.
It's what the language is. Okay, so bottom line, there's a lot of storylines on the election. It's going to be interesting.
I mean, can we just address that, though? Like,
sure.
That's so ridiculous. I mean, that is a very common phrase that people use all the time to describe things, people, events, of all different backgrounds, all different shapes and sizes. Like, you have to, some of these things, it's just amazing to me. Like, that you if you really take it to its logical conclusion, you have to believe that this guy in his head was like, yeah, I'm going to make a racial slur against this black guy on Twitter or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Deliberately, you know, it's obviously not the case. Like, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt here, and he obviously is not doing that. Can we just be mature about this, please?
Yeah. If you live in Jackson County and you're going to vote, early voting started today, by the way, go watch the interview that I did with Becky Nace on the podcast, because Becky's one of the smartest people I know, and she filled in a lot of details on why this is a horrendous idea. And for me, it comes down to this. Why do we need to move the Royals to the crossroads? Can you think of a reason we need to do this? You've got this wonderful footprint out there at the Truman Sports Complex that they moved both teams out there in 1972. It's one of the best sports facilities in the country. It's not 35 miles away like Foxborough is for the Patriots. It's You could throw a rock from the Truman Sports Complex and hit the city limit.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the problem?
It's in the city limit, isn't it?
It is in the city limit. I'm talking about like the core area. I mean, it's like you're right there on the edge of the core. And you're at the intersection of 435 and I-70. It's perfectly positioned, just like Kansas Speedway is on the Kansas side. Perfectly positioned. Why do you need to jam this thing into the crossroad? No one has made that argument.
Yeah, nobody's even asked the question. I mean,
nobody. Yeah, what's the answer?
Right. No, I don't think. I mean, obviously we are, but I don't think anybody, else, I guess, that I've seen, certainly on a big stage, you know, is asking why do we need this specifically? The word need, because obviously they want it. They want, you know, to build up downtown. They want to have nice, shiny new things and blah blah blah.
Pay for it.
But yeah, there's no need for it whatsoever.
Pay for it. Don't ask us to pay for it. That's my thing on that. That's my concern on that. And that's why I'm going to vote no. So if it gets me in trouble, it gets me in trouble. But you know what? It's my right to vote, right?
Yep.
And this podcast gives me the right to say what I want to say. So that's what we're going to say. Bob Watson's been with us since nearly the beginning of this podcast. He is going to celebrate his 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent. And he's been my State Farm agent now for 29 years exactly this month. And I thank him for all he's done for my family. You should really give him a chance to get your business. Get a rate quote. Bundle your car and home insurance, and you'll save even more money. I am already. 816-229-7878, 816-229-7878, auto, home, life, commercial insurance. And again, book the date, May 1st, 11 to 2. He's going to have a food truck there in front of the building at 7th and Main. And just go by and shake his hand. He's a wonderful American who believes like we do, wants to see the best for this country moving forward. And that's why he's part of Dale Carter's America. I told him I cannot be there on May 1st because, God willing, I am going to be in Florida. That's my week of vacation that we go down to the Panhandle in Florida. I say God willing because we're flying. I don't like to fly anyway, right?
Right.
Because I'm sitting there in this plane that weighs, what, hundreds of thousands of pounds? Maybe more? I don't know. And it's 5 miles up in the air. That doesn't compute. And now you've got all these stories of stuff falling off planes, right?
Yeah.
Wheels falling off, panels falling off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this has been going on for a little while. And, you know, this is at the same time as companies like United and Delta and others are making a point to initiate the diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff where they're hiring deliberately, you know, more minorities and women. They're decreasing their standards for entering certain jobs. The FAA is doing the same thing with the air traffic controllers. So here's just a few examples. There's a plane.
Oh my.
Just like broken down. There's one with smoke coming out the back. Sorry, clicking a lot of buttons here.
Yeah, there's just a lot. Just smoke coming out of it. That's probably not a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple more. There, you mentioned the one with the wheel falling off. That's one of these.
Fell into a parking lot.
I mean, there's like...
Can you imagine you just parked your car and all of a sudden a wheel falls off an airplane?
Right. Yeah, here it is. I mean, there's... I'm playing three or four examples. There's many, many, many more examples.
Did we see the wheel fall off?
Yeah. Watch. Right here.
Oh, whoop. Shit.
Yeah. Watch one more time.
Yeah.
In case you missed it, right there.
Boom. And that fell on a car.
Yep.
Lovely.
Yep. And there's many more. I'll stop it there. But, you know.
But they're hitting their marks on DEI, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I don't know if you saw this story or not, but there was a... there's been some ongoing stuff with Boeing. There's another video that I'm going to play here too in a second where people are saying that, like, people at the Boeing plant in South Carolina, the workers there are saying that they wouldn't fly on a Boeing plane, which is pretty crazy. But this guy, I forget his name, was in the middle of some hearings, and he was a whistleblower against Boeing. He was coming out and saying that they're lowering their standards for manufacturing, they're cutting corners, they're using old scrap parts on the planes. And he was in the middle of this big thing exposing Boeing, Well, last week, he turned up dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, apparently.
Wow, that's terrible.
So I don't know if, you know, potentially Hillary Clinton was involved. You know, they called the guards from Epstein's jail cell. You know, who knows?
This is where government should have a role, right? We want to be safe when we're flying. And that's where government should have a role. Unfortunately, with this current administration, and if you vote for them again, it's just going to get a hell of a lot worse. Where this administration is right now is, safety. We got to get more diversity, equity, and inclusion here. And if you don't believe in diversity, equity, inclusion, you're a racist.
Right.
Never mind the fact that we're all going to be on airplanes flying around this summer and shit's falling off of them because they're hiring incompetent people. They're using incompetent stuff and the government's not holding their feet to the fire.
Yeah. Let's watch this real quick. This is from Al Jazeera. They sent a person into the Boeing headquarters in South Carolina.
Oh, do I want to watch this before I fly?
In Charleston, are assembling the company's flagship product, the 787 Dreamliner. But this footage reveals some have little faith in the plane they build. Did you fly on one?
No.
You two on one. Did you fly on one of these planes?
Yeah.
Well, 15 workers.
There you go. There's more of that, too. That's just the first part of the clip.
By the way, while the clip was playing, Bob Watson just called and canceled my life insurance. Thank you, Bob. I'm kidding. He didn't do that. It's a bloodbath. Until next week, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.